Join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you pour down upon us, those which we can see and feel and taste and touch, and even those great blessings which are in the spiritual realm, which we do not see with our eyes. And yet through the heart of faith, you have given us the ability to recognize them through your word. We thank and praise you tonight for the gift of the holy angels that surround us throughout our life and care for us, and for your marvelous grace and protection through their efforts. We pray that you would bless your word among us tonight, strengthen us in our faith and in our love toward you. We ask it all in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace, his kindness, and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Tonight we recognize the eve of the festival of St. Michael and All Angels, which takes place tomorrow on September 29th. And we consider the blessing of the angels. And we heard in the beautiful story tonight, a childhood favorite probably for many of us, how many of us wanted to hear the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go, right? And but the great comfort we think that God gives us through many of those accounts and stories of how these special spirit beings bless and protect us. When I was in confirmation class in eighth grade, or probably seventh grade, my pastor, Hugo Hanberg, told us a story that's always stayed with me. It was something that had come through his wife's family. His wife's grandfather had been a pastor out in western South Dakota in the 1880s, in a very difficult time as the country was developing. And he was serving a congregation of miners, and they were apparently quite a rough group, and didn't always treat their families and their wives the way they should, were hard-drinking and hard-living men. And he would frequently, from the pulpit, chastise them and take them to task that they were not living as God's children. Well, one night, a couple of these men were mad enough at him that they took a shotgun, and they went and hid in the bushes outside of his parsonage. And as he was coming home that night, they were planning to jump up and murder him as he got off of his wagon to enter the house. The next morning, they didn't go through with it, by the way. The next morning, one of those men came in shaking and with tears in his eyes confessed the whole incident to his pastor. And he said, "I came this close to killing you last night. And if it were not for that other man sitting in the wagon with you, I would have done it." And the pastor said, "There wasn't anybody else in the wagon with me." And he said, "Yes, there was. I saw him clearly with my own eyes. I heard you talking to him and everything." And he said, "There wasn't anybody in the wagon with me." And that pastor always wondered, is it possible that this was one of God's angels sent to protect him and his life that night, surrounding him with his care? It's actually very rare in Scripture when people are permitted to see these angelic hosts. It's a very rare thing. In fact, quite often when they show up, people are very startled and very afraid because it's something that is so different than normal life. Is it possible, though, at times that God does allow people to see these special spiritual beings that he has created for us? We're told in the Bible that some people have entertained angels unawares, not aware of the fact that the person they were helping or taking care of or showing kindness to was actually a test from God through one of his angelic hosts. We know that Abraham and Sarah certainly welcomed the visitors that came to their tent, angels sent by God. So there may be times when God does allow us to actually see one of these hosts. But he doesn't promise that. He certainly doesn't promise that. And he doesn't tell us to look for that. He doesn't tell us to expect that. In fact, he even warns us that the devil can sometimes dress up like an angel of light to possibly deceive us. So it is certainly not something in which we're supposed to put the stock of our faith. And yet he wants us to believe and trust, as he tells us in his holy word, that these creatures have been created by him with a specific purpose of serving his kingdom, and especially the believers in his church. The story that I just read to you, that familiar one of the three men in the fiery furnace, took place roughly 600 years before the time of our Lord in the country known as Babylon. The Jewish people had been taken off into captivity and were held there in slavery, yet some of these very talented Jewish men would often rise up because of their intellect and ability. They would rise up into positions of power among the government, and that's what had taken place with these three men. Were they able to see the fourth man in the fiery furnace? Were they able to see the angel that protected them that night? We don't know. We don't necessarily hear that. They weren't even necessarily expecting to be delivered in this special miraculous way. If you look at the words again, they said, even if God doesn't rescue us from the fire, we will still never bow to your golden image. Sometimes it's easy for us to forget about or to neglect to see with the eyes of faith the wonderful gift of the angels from God, because they aren't visible to us, and because we can't touch them and talk to them. And yet God wants us to truly trust and believe his word that they are there for our benefit. There's a wonderful story in the Old Testament of Elisha and his servant Gehazi. They're looking out over a battle that's coming up, and their army is outnumbered by tens of thousands of men. And his servant Gehazi is scared of the situation and doubts that God can take care of them. And Elisha asks that God would allow him to see the angels that are present. And so as if God lifts a veil off of his eyes, he lets him see this monstrous host of angels that is there to protect them and to help them win the battle. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God in our lives at times lifted that veil for us to be able to see and to recognize places, maybe times when you and I have attributed something to dumb luck or attributed it to just the way something happened by circumstance. And if God would have lifted the veil that we might see and recognize his angels were guarding and protecting us and caring for us in very miraculous ways. Imagine if someday in heaven, when we arrive there by faith in Christ, if God were to allow you, not that we would care by then, but if God were to allow you to look back on a movie of your life and watch it over again with the angels visible to you, just think of the appreciation we would have for their care and the wonderful providence of God in the many ways that we have just taken for granted, things that we've forgotten about, things that we never, ever would have attributed to the hand of God working through these marvelous creatures. The scriptures tell us that they were truly created to serve God, his kingdom, and in particular, his faithful. And you can see that at the life of Christ when he gets to the most important work for us. Think about our Lord Jesus. As he goes into Gethsemane, there's an angel present with him as he prays, Father, take this cup from me. But if it must be so, he's willing to drink this cup of death that he has to go through. But there's an angel sent there to comfort him and to help him through this difficult time of bearing all of our guilt and sins, knowing he's going to go to the cross the next day. But then notice, when he goes to the cross, no mention of angels. God the Father pulls every one of them away, pulls every protective creature away from Christ, his Son, so that he can dump on him his wrath, his full judging, condemning, and damning wrath for my guilt and your guilt. So that the payment for our sin can truly happen. And our Lord cries out, looking for angels and they're not there. Cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He might as well say, where are the angels now? But as his dead body is put in the grave, and as the great wonderful miracle of his resurrection takes place, they're right back there, aren't they? Angels are sitting right there again to announce to his faithful the glory of his resurrection. 40 days later, as he ascends up into heaven, the angels are right there to speak to his disciples and to remind them that the Lord is coming back again. And on the day that our Lord tells us that he's coming back, when all people will recognize that this is the end of the world and he's coming to take his beloved to heaven, we're told he will be surrounded by throngs of angels. How great it's going to be to someday get to heaven and meet in person the very angel, and to see in person the very angel that God assigned to you at your baptism, that he assigned to walk with you throughout life. Think of the gratitude you're going to have on that day for these wonderful creatures. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen.